good evening once again, Mr. and Mrs. America, and to all the freedom-loving Christians, patriots, truth seekers, and all the rest of you. Welcome to another hour of The Flip Side on this Friday evening. Jeff Bennett behind the microphone tonight. Thanks for being here with us. I promise you not a repeat of the satirical tongue-in-cheek of Wednesday evening. Those things happen occasionally. One loses control of their faculties, the microphone, and the words that emanate from one's orifice. And that's as clean as you're ever going to hear me make that reference. We're going to do some unusual things tonight. The first of what I expect will be a multi-evening presentation. We'll talk to you more about it when we come back from the break. I want to get right to some market reports because I'll have no other time for any of this kind of stuff for the rest of the hour. Dow Jones Industrial Average had the best week in the last 4 years. It closed up nearly 20 points today to end the day at 12,481. Still a joke in the real scheme of things. NASDAQ was down nearly 3 points. S&P was up about 2 points. So a very mixed day on Wall Street, so to speak, even though all the stories are glowing. I don't know what they're glowing about. I don't think there's anything to be excited about in those respects. As to the metals, well, they didn't do very well today. Gold dropped off 665 today to end the day at 657.35. Still nothing to complain about in my estimation. Silver dropped 26 cents in the after hours at 13.15 an ounce. Platinum off $12 to end the day at $1,228 an ounce. As I've shared with you for many, many years, I pay little attention to the day-to-day and moment-to-moment movement of metals. It's the long haul. It's looking down the road that is of the greatest concern to me. I was reading some editorials late last night by some well-known, well-heeled writers and investigative reporters as relates to gold and silver. Everyone to a man still believes that we are on the long-term upside and that eventually the markets and real estate and everything else is going to come tumbling down big time. So those are the things to kind of keep in mind for the future. This hour, of course, brought to you in part by the Republic Trading Group, purveyor of fine and precious metals. We can be reached at 1-800-691-7898. I've got about a minute or so before we head to the first break. I shared with you last week through writing and several times commenting on the air about a series of books I recently acquired. The Intimate Papers of Colonel House, Edward Mandel House. And I also posted on the Federal Observer, and by the way, the chat room is open, www.federalobserver.com. Please do come join us in the chat room. And we are going to be sharing some of Colonel House's writings tonight and some commentary, chiefly that relates to the Federal Reserve and, at that point in time, nearly 100 years ago, the design to revamp our entire monetary system. So stay with us, and welcome to Mandel's House. See you on the flip side of this commercial break.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. We're still mad as hell.
Very apropos song. Welcome back to the Flip Side. Your host for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. I don't normally let the music roll that long, but that's a very apropos piece. The Dixie Chicks, of course. Not ready to make nice, but I will continue to pay the price. And I think that is much of what we face in America today. So many are maybe not willing to pay the price, but this has become our lot because of so many decades of inactivity by the American citizenry who've just sat back and enjoyed the comforts of bigger homes and bigger cars and bigger televisions and more entertainment and more pornography and greater sports and depth coverage and participation. And when we become comfortable with all of these things, we forget the past. We forget the things that brought us to this state of mind or condition that we live in. When I look back over my 59 years and remember at what point in time that I began to be challenged to think outside the box. Oh yes, I was challenged at a very early age. I remember sitting in a chair in my grandfather's study at the age of probably 12 or so, period of 7 hours, being lectured to by my grandfather, being forced to read out of magazines and interpret what I was reading, and hating it. A 12-year-old kid living in, having access to 80 acres of rolling hills and lakes and trees to climb and other enemies to kill. Doesn't care about reading Time or Newsweek or U.S. News and World Report or whatever. But I look back now and realize that these are things that stuck in my craw. And that on top of the marvelous education direction I had of a small, small cadre and group of teachers. And I look back and thank them and wish I could thank them and wonder if any of them are even still alive. Many would be in their 80s, maybe even 90s today if they still live, I suppose. To realize that in the fifth grade, due to a marvelous teacher who began to also get me to think outside the box, to get me at that age to realize that the Civil War had nothing to do with that which we had been told. I don't know, how old was I in the fifth grade? Maybe the same age. When he began to challenge me to understand the plight of the Confederacy, who were concerned about invasion of their own lands by Federalists, states' rights, human rights, but mostly states' rights. And that is what the Constitution had allowed for. And so I look back and I read and I study, and so when I come across books such as those that I found in Long Beach, California, just over a week ago, and I began to read the papers of one Colonel Edward Mandel House, and much as we face in this nation today, we have a so-called leader, one who thinks that he's a decider and a uniter, who in fact has been nothing but, since day one, merely a divider. Not only of the peoples within this nation, but he has divided the United States of America from the rest of the world. And yet we know it's not him. He's just a pompous ass that stands up before the microphone and threatens Congress because they won't go along with his deal. Threatens to veto their legislation. That's partisan politics. I'm the president. Thou shalt not speak against the policies I have elected to push through. And so behind that throne are people like Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, who may in fact have been the real president these past 5-6 years. Karl Rove is the interesting one to watch. He seems to have the ear of the president at all times, and yet, is this something new in this country? Is this something new in our history? Warhawk in the chat room says presidents are merely pitiful puppets. Nearly 100 years ago, we had a president, one Woodrow Wilson. And in the opening paragraphs of Colonel House's first volume of the book entitled The Intimate Papers of Colonel House, compiled and edited by one Professor Charles Seymour, Sterling Professor of History at Yale University. Yes, that Yale. Skull and Bones Yale. House talks about Woodrow Wilson, and he states that the League of Nations, that of course is the forerunner to the United Nations, the League of Nations and the name of Woodrow Wilson have become inseparable, and his enemies have helped to build to his memory the noblest monument ever erected to a son of man. That's interesting. foreword of the book, which he referred to as a prefatory note, was written by House. But as we begin to get into the book, discussion of politics and letters being sent back and forth from House to Wilson and vice versa in the early stages, I come across a segment of the book, Volume 1, that certainly becomes worth sharing. We have all heard, my friends, that, and I can't remember the specific language right now, it's been one of those days. But you see, it has always been important to recall the lessons of our history, for if we forget them, we are doomed to repeat them. From the intimate papers of Colonel House, published in 1926, I believe, might have been 28. Specific publishing date, I don't believe, is germane to this discussion. Marvelous three-volume set that took a tremendous amount of editing. And I don't mean editing for comment. 1926, published by Houghton Mifflin. And from the compiler, from the professor, he says, the extent of Colonel House's influence upon the legislative plans of the administration, the Wilson administration, may be gathered from a remarkable document which deserves some attention. In the autumn of 1912, immediately after the presidential election, there was published a novel or political romance entitled Philip Drew, Administrator. It was the story of a young West Point graduate, incapacitated for military service by his health, who was caught by the spirit of revolt against the tyranny of privileged interests. A stupid and reactionary government at Washington provoked armed rebellion, in which Drew joins wholeheartedly, in which he ultimately leads to complete success. He himself, Drew, becomes dictator and proceeds by ordinance to remake the mechanism of government, to reform the basic laws that determine the relation of the classes, to remodel the defensive forces of the Republic, and to bring about an international grouping or league of powers founded upon Anglo-Saxon solidarity. His reforms accomplished, he gives effect once more to representative institutions as formulated in a new American Constitution, better fitted than the old for the spirit and conditions of the 20th century. As a romance, the book was not notable, for the effort of the anonymous author had evidently been spent upon the careful working out of the political and social ideas of the young Philip Drew rather than upon its literary form. Certain reviewers, however, were piqued by the daring and the ingenuity of these ideas, and treating the book as a political manifesto rather than a novel, acclaimed it as a remarkable publication. Speculation as to the personality of the unknown author, who was described merely as a man prominent in political councils, naturally followed. But there seemed to be general agreement that he could not belong to either of the two older parties. Stick around as we continue our story of Philip Drew, Administrator. I'll see you on the flip side of this commercial break.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24-volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Music that our friends. It's interesting because of the fact was predominantly used or most known in recent years, used in the film Ghost, which is what I would like our illustrious leader to be. Continuing on, Philip Drew, administrator, the description of the book and its author. There seemed to be a general agreement by a number of people that the author of Philip Drew Administrator could not have belonged to either of the two older parties. We trust he is to be found among the Democrats, wrote one reviewer, but we greatly fear he is of the new party. Another reviewer was of similar opinion. We trust that the author's counsel and assistance will be available at Washington, if not during the present administration, surely when the Progressive Party assumes control. There were indeed numerous suggestions that Mr. Roosevelt himself was the author. 5 years after the publication of the book, Philip Drew Administrator, an enterprising bookseller noting the growing influence of House, Colonel Edward Mandel House, in the Wilson administration, wrote with regard to the book, quote, as time goes on, the interest in it becomes more intense due to the fact that so many of the ideas expressed by Philip Drew Administrator have become laws of the Republic. And so many of his ideas have been discussed as becoming laws. And he ends with the question, is Colonel E.M. House of Texas the author? If not, who? Well, as one of our visitors in the chat room tonight, which is open, by the way, www.federalobserver.com. As one of the participants noted, it's a shame that he could not believe that this man, Colonel Edward Mandel House, was birthed in Austin, Texas. Well, we know now that Colonel House, of course, in truth was the author. To his other occupations, he added that of a novelist. He tells us himself in a brief memorandum how in the autumn of 1911 he conceived the idea of writing a novel as a medium to express his economic and political theories. That winter in Austin, House was quite ill. He said, "When I began to convalesce at home and before I was able to get about, I wrote Philip Drew Administrator. I was surprised at the rapidity with which I wrote, for I was not certain when I began that I could do it at all. I was also surprised to find out how much I was interested in doing this kind of work. I had written platforms and speeches, etc., for different candidates and officials, and newspaper articles for campaign purposes, but this was an entirely new departure. I did not spend more than 30 days upon the first draft of the book. Macy's read it and approved it, and I sent it to Houston to look over, largely with the view of getting his judgment as to the economic features of it. Now, I don't have time tonight to go into the description of who Macy's and Houston were, but understand they were some big wigs in Texas." House continues, "He kept the manuscript until I passed through St. Louis on my way east. He declared his belief that it was economically sound, but held that the fiction in it was so thin that he advised rewriting it as a serious work, as he had suggested originally." Colonel House, writing to Dr. D.F. Houston down in Austin, March 12th of 1912, stated, "Dear Dr. Houston, I expect to elaborate somewhat concerning the functions of the national government. I particularly want to make it clear that the executive and his cabinet will be more nearly akin to the English premier than to the French, inasmuch as I want him to have the right to propose measures directly and without referring them to a committee. If you have any suggestions along this or any other lines, please let me have them. I've done some padding, as for instance the story of the tenement fire, which I expect to take out later and put in more serious stuff. It's not much of a novel, as you will soon discover. At the same time, unless it were known by that name, its audience would be reduced at least 90%. If it was called what I really mean it to be, only those who think pretty much as I do would read it, and those I am trying to reach would never look at it. Faithfully yours, E.M. House." But my friends, this was the spring of 1912, and all of House's energies were taken up with the pre-convention campaign that ended with the nomination of Woodrow Wilson. The early summer he spent in Europe, evidently not wishing to give the time necessary to putting it into the form that Houston advised, by elimination of the romance and fearing that a scientific essay would not reach a large public, he decided merely to smooth it out so far as possible while on the Atlantic. And he stated, "I worked assiduously on Philip Drew all the way over and all the way back, but had no time for it in Europe. We returned early in August, and the first thing I did was to shake myself clear of Philip Drew. E.S. Martin read the manuscript and wanted me to rewrite it, saying that some of it was so good that it was a pity that parts of it were so bad. I had no time, however, for such diversions, for the political campaign was engrossing my entire time, and the publisher was urging me to give him the manuscript so it might be advertised in the autumn announcements. I was so much more interested in the campaign than I was in the book that I turned it over to the publisher, having determined to let it go as it was." Well, whatever the literary merits of Philip Drew was, it gives us an insight into the main political and social principles that actuated House in his companionship with President Wilson. Later, we're going to begin to enter the whole mentality of the Federal Reserve and find out just how much Colonel Edward Mandel House was involved. Stay with me. I'll see you in about 3 minutes on the flip side.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
That I didn't want to hear, but I knew that it would come. An old true friend of ours was talking on the phone. She said you found someone.
Well, I found someone. Welcome back to the Flip Side for this Friday evening. Glad to have you here, Jeff Bennett. We're spending some time tonight sharing with you segments of one of the books I acquired a week or so ago, The Intimate Papers of Colonel House. And in this segment tonight, and we're going to be leading up, we'll be doing more of this. I'm not going to concentrate on it only, but you have to understand why I am laying the groundwork tonight. In future episodes, we'll take small segments talking about the money trust, currency reform, discussions with Boston bankers, conferences on the currency, the Federal Reserve Act, the Federal Reserve Board. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this leads up to what we're living under today. The economic constraints that we're living under today, the economic freedom that others have to shackle you and I. And I think before we can understand, you know, it's great that we go on the air, we talk about the market's up, the market's down, gold's going to go to 2,000, the loaf of bread's going to cost $7. You know, we can talk about all that stuff all you want to. We can share with you updated financial news, political news of what's going on in Iran and Iraq and China and yada, yada, yada. It goes on and on and on. But until we can go back nearly 100 years and understand the groundwork, who was behind laying the groundwork and what their ultimate goals were, then and only then can we understand why we are sitting on the precipice of absolute disaster today. Now, I've done countless hundreds of hours of programming talking about the founding of the Federal Reserve and what happened afterwards and the fights that were going on within Congress and old Charles Lindbergh, the Lone Eagle's father, and his comments, etc., etc. We've certainly talked about The Creature from Jekyll Island, which so many of you have read. But that came a little later than where we're beginning here tonight. How much involvement did House actually have? Who was House working for? Don't confuse Colonel Edward Mandel House with Philip Drew. Philip Drew was a novel written by Edward Mandel House, and they are in fact one and the same in mindset, in belief. We continue. Whatever the literary merits of Philip Drew, the book, it gives us an insight into the main political and social principles that actuated Colonel House in his companionship with President Wilson. I love the fact they use the word companionship. Is that how we discuss things in terms of Karl Rove and George W. Bush? Is Karl Rove G.W. Bush's companion or his puppet master? Through it, the book, Philip Drew, it runs the note of social democracy reminiscent of Louis Blanc and the revolutionaries of 1848. This book is dedicated to the unhappy man who have lived and died lacking opportunity. Now, I find that interesting. How many Americans today are lacking opportunity? Or the knowledge of how to activate it and to take advantage of it? The time is now measurably near when it will be just as reprehensible for the mentally strong to hold in subjugation the mentally weak and to force them to bear the grievous burdens which a misconceived civilization has imposed upon them. Government, accordingly, must be inspired by the spirit of charity rather than the spirit of ruthless efficiency. Especially must privileged interests be excluded from governmental influence, for by the nature of things, their point of view is selfish. That line tells you so much. Especially must privileged interests be excluded from governmental influence. And that is exactly what is wrong in government today. Privileged interests have not been excluded from governmental influence. They have been completely included, and that has excluded you and I. Though the book, Philip Drew, Administrator, also runs the idea that in the United States, government is unresponsive to popular desires. A negative government, House calls it, for it is at more pains to do nothing with safety than to attempt desirable reforms which might disturb vested interests and alienate the voters. Now, I find this interesting because it speaks so much of what takes place in this country today. We have over 60% of the populace believes it is time to get the hell out of Iraq. In the House of Representatives today, I believe, maybe it was the Senate, but I believe it was the House that made the first consorted effort to move toward naming a pullout date for Iraq. Waldo says he's disappointed and that if it is signed into law and is laid upon his desk, he will veto it. Over 60% of the public says get the hell out. So much for vested interests, but we definitely have alienated the so-called voters. The theory of checks and balances, House continues, has developed so as to reinforce this negative character of government, closer cooperation between the President and Congress, perhaps in the direction of parliamentary methods, would be necessary if the tendency of American government is to be made active and positive. The specific measures enacted by Philip Drew as administrator of the nation indicated the reforms desired by House. Desired by House. Who was Edward Mandell House? He was but a citizen, a so-called American. How does one man have so much influence over the presidency and of law and policy in this nation or in any nation? In the book, the administrator, Philip Drew, appointed a, quote, board composed of economists and others well-versed in matters relating to the tariff and internal revenue who were instructed to work out a tariff law which would contemplate the abolition of the theory of protection as a governmental policy, end quote. The administrator further directed the tax board to work out a graduated income tax. Philip Drew also provided for the formulation of a new banking law, affording a flexible currency bottomed largely upon commercial assets, the real wealth of the nation, instead of upon debt, as formerly, its final construction would completely destroy the credit trust, the greatest, the most far-reaching, and under evil direction, the most pernicious trust of all. Philip Drew, administrator, also proposed making corporations share with the government and states a certain part of their net earnings. That's right. He proposed making corporations share some of their net earnings with the federal government. A tax, as it were. Now, my friends, such were some of Drew's plans, which shortly found actual life in Wilsonian legislation. No wonder that cabinet members like Mr. Lane and Mr. Bryan commented upon the influence of Drew with the president. All that book has said should be, wrote Lane. Comes about, the president comes to Philip Drew. In the end, that from a letter from Franklin K. Lane, which is found later in this public, in this edition. Other excerpts indicate the extent of House's progressiveness. He said labor is no longer to be classed as an inert commodity to be bought and sold by the law of supply and demand. Drew prepared an old age pension law, and also a laborer's insurance law covering loss in case of illness, incapacity, and death. My goodness. Philip Drew, a character in a novel, proposing something like Social Security. Philip Drew was Edward Mandell House. Drew incorporated into the franchise law the right of labor to have one representative upon the boards of corporations and to share a certain percentage of the earnings above the wages after a reasonable percent upon the capital had been earned. In turn, it was to be obligatory upon them, the laborers, not to strike, but to submit all grievances to arbitration. To such an extent had Colonel House formulated his ideas upon national problems before the election of Woodrow Wilson. In regard to Philip Drew, wrote House in 1916, I want to say that there are some things in it I wrote hastily and in which I do not concur, but most of it I stand upon as being both my ethical and political faith. Ladies and gentlemen, four great legislative problems confronted Woodrow Wilson, and their solution constitutes his chief claim in matters of domestic politics to the title of statesman. This, according to the editor of this book, the good professor. They concern the revision of the tariff with the introduction of an income tax law, the creation of the Federal Reserve banking system, the control of trusts, and the regulation of industrial relations. And in meeting them, Wilson displayed the inspiring leadership essential to success. He showed himself as convincing and sympathetic when he dealt with Congress as a whole, as he was reserved in his dealings with individual congressmen. By the end of the special session, which passed both the tariff and currency acts, his moral supremacy, we're talking Wilson here, his moral supremacy was firmly established, and his mastery of the party was complete. He was hailed as the Moses who had led the party out of the legislative ineffectiveness supposedly characteristic of all Democrats. Well, let's get down to brass tacks here, folks. Moral? Where's that word? Moral supremacy. Well, let's consider for a moment how things such as the Social Security Act came about and the income tax, and let's talk about how the Federal Reserve came about. Might it have something to do that Woodrow Wilson had been caught with his pants down with a young woman? And he basically was threatened with exposure if he didn't go along with the wishes of one Philip Drew, administrator? In each of these great problems that Woodrow Wilson had to face, Colonel House took deep interest. He brought the president the variety of opinions which he culled from his numerous personal contacts. He utilized his relations with party leaders to assist in the passage of the bills through Congress. But it was in the currency question that he took chief interest. For this he had long studied, and from its solution might be expected positive tangible benefits in a short time. As cotton planter and one-time banker in Texas, he appreciated the dangers of an inelastic currency. And as a liberal, he distrusted the financial power which certain metropolitan banking firms were able to wield over national commerce and industry. Organized capital, Wall Street in popular parlance, had secured a control of banking credits which, if it were extended, might place the industrial life of the country in the power of private and at least partially irresponsible interest. You know, that's a very interesting statement. Let us dissect just a little bit of it. We openly refer to it as Wall Street. He referred to it as organized capital. Ladies and gentlemen, that is far more accurate than calling it Wall Street. Organized capital happens to have their offices in New York in a place called Wall Street. But organized capital is what they are. Against this so-called credit trust, Mr. Bryan had protested in 1896, quote, "Let the government go out of the banking business," end quote. The financial magnates had cried. Bryan retorted, "Let the banks go out of the government business. If private individuals could release or withhold credits at will, it meant a control of industry and inequality of opportunity at complete variance with traditional American principles." Let the banks go out of the government business and let the government go out of the banking business. Well, the government has certainly gone out of the banking business. One part of the equation has come to pass because they turned it over to this illicit, illegal Federal Reserve system. But have the banks, in fact, gone out of the government business? No, they have not. And this is what has led us to be sitting where we sit today. The Federal Reserve came into play in the year 1913. Well, it didn't effectively, really come into being till 1914 because it was only approved on the 23rd of December, 1913. You only had about a week left in the year. But the ball was rolling, baby. And the government got out of the banking business. They only remained in the printing business. But at that moment in time, the banks stuck their fingers in the orifices of government, and they've never pulled them out. July 26, 1911, Colonel House writing to a Senator Culberson writes, "Dear Senator, I think Woodrow Wilson's remark that the money trust was the most pernicious of all trusts is eminently correct. The few individuals and their satellites control the leading banks and trust companies in America. They also control the leading corporations, and if they are to be permitted on the one hand to use the corporations as a bar against loss to any speculation which they may make, and to use on the other hand the banks and trust companies to borrow all the funds they may need for such speculations, the stockholders of the corporations which they dominate in the business world that depends upon funds from the trust companies and banks which they dominate are bound to suffer. Faithfully yours, Edward Mandel House." Does one begin to understand? Or is it redundant to you? One can never repeat or cease to repeat history. Stay with us. I'll be back in a couple of minutes with some final comments for the evening. And then we shall move on to the weekend.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
There must be some way out of here. Yeah, in about 4 more minutes there will be. I want to thank all of you who've joined us in the chat room tonight. A smaller room than usual, one of the most intelligent realms of discussion we've had. I enjoy the chat room. I like to see what transpires between folks. It's quite interesting. Quite interesting. spending most of this hour trying to share with you the correlation between what happened during the presidential administration of one Woodrow Wilson versus the similarities that we are seeing in the Bush administration nearly 100 years later. Sharing with you pages from the intimate papers of Colonel Edward Mandel House, some of his letters. Remember that during the autumn of 1912 and the spring of 1913, even in the midst of Wilson's campaign and the process of forming a cabinet, House worked constantly on the currency problem in order to be prepared to assist the president when he could meet the congressional committees. The task which Colonel House set himself was primarily to prevent the president-elect from committing himself to any one scheme until the problem had been thoroughly studied. Later, he guided the measures so that it was left in control of the experts and preserved from the heresies of political incompetence. The colonel, you see, was the unseen so-called guardian angel of the bill, constantly assisting the Secretary of the Treasury and the Chairman of the Senate and House Committees in their active and successful labor of translating it into law, that law ultimately becoming the Federal Reserve Act, of course. Wilson, who was accused of a tendency to avoid advice, proved himself, in fact, to be far from the self-confident doctrinaire pictured by his opponents. In the matter of currency reform, he was determined that the bill should be founded on expert opinion. Next time we pick up on this subject, we're going to be introduced or reintroduced once again to one Paul Warburg, and we will find that Colonel Edward Mandel House had considerable dialogue with Mr. Warburg. So you see, Mr. Wilson was the perfect man at the perfect time for an imperfect country, but a nation that was far more perfect then than it is today in so many respects. The intrigue, the filth, the treachery that always goes on behind the puppet that sits upon the throne is quite amazing. Here we sit from 1913 to 1907. That is, I'm sorry, 2007 minus 1913. We are 94 years since this little play began with Colonel House. And in that 94 years, you think that somebody in government would have woken up and reversed it. But by then, the money controlled the government. The money was in the government. And in a roundabout way, in a tongue-in-cheek, I guess I can say, the government was out of the money. Stay with me. Over the next few weeks, we'll add some more little chapters to this ongoing saga. The weekend is upon us. On behalf of Republic Broadcasting Network, Robbie Noel and myself, without apology, I'm out of here.